In this half hour of Monitor, actor Jack Oakey will reminisce about the highlights of his 40-year career. I'm Bob Wogan, your host. New Monitor music now, it's Charlie Colello and When I Tell You I Love You. Stage. Star performances recorded live at leading theaters, concert halls, and nightclubs all across the country. Tonight, the comedy of Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks as Mel portrays his 2,000-year-old man.
Hello there.
Hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Yes, good to see you.
You know, many people still do not believe that you are 2,000 years old, but it has been authenticated.
Yes, it has, certainly.
You are that.
I have a birth certificate in the land of Og. I don't carry my birth certificate around.
Why?
Because it's a boulder. It's inscribed on it.
Oh, I see, yes. Well, that
can't carry
would be
that.
Cumbersome.
No. Credit cards, that's enough.
Yes. Sir, yes. Are there any more secrets you're ready to divulge about why and how to live 2,000 years?
Well, one of the big things that's kept me rolling along singing a song is garlic.
Garlic has
yes.
kept you alive? How can garlic keep you alive?
Well, garlic keeps you alive because, well, you know how you die, don't you? That the angel of death, see? You let him in and bang, you know.
Comes
in and says, okay, Murray, this is it. And
how does garlic help?
Well, I'll retire. I'll eat myself a nice pound and a half of garlic. Then I lay down in bed and I pull up my crazy quilt. Start to retire and snore.
And how does the garlic help?
Well, the angel of death, you know, comes in. He comes over to me, taps me on the shoulder. I say, who is it? And usually he goes, whoop! And he takes right off. He's out the door. That's...
Well, that's an interesting theory.
Sure. You know about the kiss of death, right?
Yes.
Sure, he's not going to kiss me. I'm full of garlic.
I see. Sir, have you ever been asked to spy?
I spied for Washington.
For our country?
Yes, for the father of our country, President George Washington. I not only was a spy for George, I was a counter-spy.
I don't understand that.
Well, we had a little restaurant at Valley Forge. I worked the counter and listened. See? A counter-spy, you know?
I see.
Every once in a while...
Who did you listen to?
A Hessian would come in under the... You know, and I listened. You could hear that... I knew it was a Hessian, right? I would tell George, a Hessian... I give him a smack in the head, then that's it, you know.
You were very close to the whole revolution, weren't you?
Yes.
Did you know Benedict Arnold?
I knew him and I despised him.
Because he was a traitor?
No, because he told me. He told me he was going to meet me that night, and I had a date.
Did you know he was a traitor?
The same night he was supposed to bring a girl for me, he goes and betrays his country.
Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks in a Monitor on Stage performance. Gogie Grant sings The Sea.
My man is a handsome sailing man, the captain of his crew. He goes with the sea to distant lands, and he stays a year or two. I have his name, I wear his ring, but I found from the start, though I keep my vows and keep his house, the she-sea keeps his heart. Oh, the sea, the she-devil sea, my lover loves her better than me. By the sea, the she-devil sea, she laughs at me. Sometimes when he's sleeping in my arms, I hear the jealousy raging and wild. She raves and storms because he's here with me. And as he wakes, I kiss his lips, and his desire I stir. But with the dawn, he'll soon be gone, and he'll go back to her, to the sea, that she-devil sea. My lover loves her better than me. By the sea, the she-devil sea,
at 17 minutes before the hour, you are 1 minute away from a report on taxes in Russia, here on the Monitor Beacon. Bob Wogan for Monitor, continuing this evening's survey of taxes around the world. Our next report is from the Soviet Union and NBC News correspondent Kenneth Bernstein in Moscow.
There are no Ides of April in the Soviet Union, but there are taxes withheld all the year round at the source. Withholding tax is an accustomed feature of life, so accustomed that many a worker may not even realize how big the bite is. The factory or the ministry customarily keeps the records. The employee doesn't need or get a copy. He doesn't have to fill out the equivalent of a Form 1040. The Soviet income tax, like the American, is graduated. As the salary goes up, so does the percent of the tax. The maximum for the highest income bracket calls for 13%. The average Russian is said to pay 7%. With the withholding tax nearly universal, there are hardly any methods of evasion. The only people who might have the opportunity are those doing a little private enterprise for moonlighting. Fines and confiscation of property are deterrents. While the maximum income tax is 13%, the size of hidden taxes is well hidden. It's also quite obviously enormous. It shows up in the prices. The man who pays 40 rubles, the official equivalent of $44, for a passively adequate pair of shoes may be paying more hidden tax in that one purchase than his entire overt income tax for the year. The government's income from taxes on industry is more than five times as large as the receipts from income taxes, and it's the customer who pays. Another selective tax here is aimed at bachelors and couples without children. They pay a so-called childless family tax, 6% of their earnings. Logically enough, the money goes to pay for various children's services. Most places in the world, the tax outlook is usually bleak, with threats of higher taxes and newly invented taxes. In the Soviet Union, it's official that income taxes are to be abolished entirely within the next few years. This Supreme Soviet passed a law about it, but not much has been said on the subject lately. In any case, the hidden taxes will presumably be boosted to make up the difference, so it'll be only a theoretical triumph for the working man. Kenneth Bernstein, NBC News, Moscow.
In the next half hour, we'll have a report on the tax problem in England, right here on Monitor, where our theme sounds like this, when the big band of Buddy Rich plays it. Reminder here that tomorrow evening there will be another NBC News special in our second Sunday series, titled Famine. The program will focus on the worldwide hunger problem. You will hear some of the things this country and others are doing to produce more food and distribute it properly. The program will present interviews with many leading figures of the United States government, the United Nations, various religious faiths, and industry food research. That's tomorrow evening in the last hour of Monitor. Vic Damone next, and his big one on the south side of Chicago.
Fancy girls out working, honky tonks ablaze. These were a part of the good old days. When I used to swing on the south side of Chicago. Twenty-first and Wentworth was its beating heart. The place where action first got its start. Back when jazz was king. Side of Chicago. I still can hear those silver trumpets blowing in little places filled with people glowing.
Jack Oakey has had a long and unusual career as an actor in Hollywood. For years, he appeared as an undergraduate in movies about college life. Later, he went on to character roles in a wide variety of pictures. Monitor reporter Rick Lazar interviewed Jack Oakey at a happening in Santa Monica, California.
Jack, what do you think of the happenings that are happening in Hollywood?
Well, I think this is wonderful. I really mean it, and I wish that I was a little younger and was a part of it.
Jack is talking about the new Cheetah opening here in Santa Monica, California. Jack, tell me, how are things different from when you were really swinging in the movie business?
This kind of dancing, of course, I used to do this on roller skates, you know, but they weren't paying much attention then. But these mini skirts, it's fascinating to watch these kids.
Jack,
I'm all for it. I'm 100% for it.
Jack, who had the most influence in your career?
Well, I think Charlie Chaplin. Charlie Chaplin was a great friend of mine, and he did me the honor of letting me play Mussolini in his picture called The Great Dictator. And he taught me so much because he's a brilliant man. In fact, I say he's the one genius in this business. He's a director, a producer, a composer, a dancer, and if he was down here tonight, he would be out there dancing with all these kids, too. And probably be the best one.
Jack, what's the most memorable role that you've ever had?
Well, I should say The Great Dictator. And I did Once in a Lifetime. I did Hit the Deck. I did The Pleats in June Moon, College Humor. In fact, I spent 10 years out here just making college football pictures. But I knew that one day they were going to graduate me, so as soon as the whites started coming in the air, they says, let's graduate the boy and make a leading man out of him.
Monitor talking to wonderful Jack Oakey here in Santa Monica, California. Jack, where were you born?
I was born in Sedalia, Missouri.
Sedalia, Missouri, and when did you come Missouri. Out to...
I made pictures in New York, see, before I came out. I arrived in Dallas just 40 years ago, exactly.
And how about if Jack's fans are all
64
around?
Years old, never had a bath, sweet as a nut.
Hey, you look great.
Jack, I'll tell you, the great Jack Oakey is always surrounded by fans.
You're very kind, Now, shall I take my skates off?
I like your miniskirt.
Look at here I got a fan.
Okay. What do you think of the miniskirts, Jack?
Well, I love them. They absolutely stare at you, but... If I had pretty legs like that, I'd wear them myself.
Jack, thank you very much for being our guest.
Listen, it's my pleasure. Thank you for pitching a tent here and listening to all this. And thank the young ladies because they're very kind.
Monitor's guest has been the great Jack Oakey. This is Rick Lazar at Santa Monica returning you to Monitor.
Mary little lamb, one and one make two. Candles on a birthday cake, blow them out and your wish comes true. Does he love me? Does he not? Tell me, Daisy, do. Oh, to meet your charms again. Oaks from acorns grew, one and one made two. I believe. I remember when every day began, strawberry jam and laughter, and every story ended with happily ever after. I remember feeling that I'd be safe if I didn't step on a crack. The days when the sun was up ahead and the wind was at my back. Does he?
Does he not?
Tell me, Daisy.
Oh, to be
oaks will make horns grow.
I believed it all by the Pozo Seco Singers. You may not believe all of this, but this week Dr. Thomas Ungerleiter, a UCLA psychiatrist, predicted that in 20 years, thrill seekers would go around with a small electric box plugged into the pleasure center of the brain. They'll be able to turn themselves on, and their motto, according to the good doctor, will be plug in, turn on, and buzz. This is Bob Wogan with Monitor. News is next, and
see to the latest news now is on the air. Keep tuned for sports and views now from everywhere.
WNBC, the big voice of Big Town USA, keeps you in touch with Big Town. Where, when the city began to cut 2nd Avenue through St. Mark's Graveyard in the Bowery, the mysterious midnight tolling of the church bell could only be explained by a broken length of rope found hanging under the belfry, its matching half in the burial vault of Peter Stuyvesant, last of the Dutch governors. Big Town, USA.
Next week, when you get the kids off to school, the house picked up, and you're finishing your second cup of coffee, why not turn that quiet time into something really worthwhile? Drop in at the public library and pick up a book, a record, or a magazine to enjoy. While you're there, check on other library services and planned programs. You might discover a concert, lecture, or a book discussion that will interest you. Relax and enjoy yourself at the library.
Dick Wheat has a growing audience mornings from 5 to 9 on WNBC New York, the big voice of Big Town USA.
It's 10 o'clock.